I have to tell you this morning before I properly begin preaching that it's a little funny to be preaching about preaching. It's like if you stand in one of those elevators and you see your reflection in the mirror and it's a reflection of a reflection of a reflection of a reflection. Or it's almost as though you're reading a book on parenting and then you give it to your kids. So I'm a little worried that you'll know all my tricks after this. And then all my sermons, you'll just say, oh, well, that's what she's doing there. And then you'll be inside my brain. But the theme for today's theme in our series on worship is, why does the pastor talk so much? Which is another way of saying, why does the pastor preach? And what's up with preaching and why does it matter? And so I'm hoping not to talk too much today, but to share some insights with you as to why we pastors preach and why it matters for everybody else. So let's start by praying. God, your scriptures say how beautiful are the feet of those who announce the good news. So we pray that you would move our feet so that we might run to announce it. Open our lips that our mouths may speak your praise. Open our ears that we might hear you speaking even now. And open our lives that we might be transformed by your word of new life. Amen. Every preacher has a different approach to preaching, a different style, but also a different sense of what their task is as a preacher. Preaching is an art form that pastors develop over their lifetime of ministry, and there's classes and whole degree programs you can get in preaching, just of preaching alone. So it's going to be impossible, I confess, for me to tell you everything there is to know about preaching in one sermon. But my hope is to encapsulate a few essentials about preaching by using a sermon out of the book of Acts. I want to invite you, if you're a visual learner like I am and want to follow along, I want to invite you to grab one of the Pew Bibles from in front of you. The Pew Bible page numbers, they restart in the New Testament. So look for page number 132 in the New Testament section of it. It's going to be Acts chapter 13. Verse 16. I think it's like the lower left column on page 132. Acts 13, 16. You can also Google it if you're on your phone. I'll trust you're Googling Acts 13. So you can follow along with our scripture today. Because I'm going to use this second scripture from the book of Acts to look at why preachers preach. This scripture is a sermon that Paul gives to the church in Antioch when he and Barnabas are visiting there. So let's start first in verse 16. We're in Acts chapter big 13, little 16, as I would say to the kids. Let's start in verse 16. Paul and Barnabas have just arrived in Antioch in a city. It's a city that is in modern-day Turkey. If you know where the island of Cyprus is in the Mediterranean Sea, it's like inland, just north of there. And so it's the Sabbath day, it's Saturday, so Paul and Barnabas go to the synagogue, and after the Torah and the prophets are read, the synagogue leaders turn to Paul and Barnabas, and they say, "Do you have a word of exhortation for us today?" And so being good preachers and good missionaries, they say, "Well, of course we have something to say." And they get up, and Paul begins to preach in verse 16. He says, "You Israelites and others who fear God, listen. The God of this people, Israel, chose our ancestors and made the people great during their stay in the land of Egypt, and with an uplifted arm, he led them out of it." This is a familiar story, a story that Paul starts with as familiar as once upon a time. It harkens back to that old, old story of the Israelites. And so this shows the first reason why preachers preach. To tell God's story. Notice that Paul isn't beginning simply with his own experience of Jesus, although he had a powerful one. And he doesn't begin with just like a joke to warm up the crowd, although sometimes that's helpful. He begins with the big story that his listeners are all a part of. He's talking to a Jewish audience, and so for them, the story of the Israelite people is familiar. It's their framing story. So he starts with that story, how they were first called by God. This is the same story that we pastors are still telling today, the big story that shapes each of our smaller stories. I love this story because it goes all the way back to creation. It's ancient. And yet it's also current, shaping our lives today. The story of God is huge, encompassing everything in the entire cosmos, but it's also really particular. It's particular to each and every one of us. And so this shows the first reason why pastors preach, why preachers preach, is to tell God's story, a story that will shape all other stories. Let's look further down in the sermon where Paul demonstrates the second reasons pastors preach, which is to teach. To teach, to help disciples grow and learn. Look in verse 26. He says, "My brothers, you descendants of Abraham's family and others who fear God, to us this message of salvation has been sent." And then he starts talking about what happened when Jesus was killed in Jerusalem. He tries to clarify for them what was going on there. Verse 27 says, "Because the residents of Jerusalem and their leaders did not recognize him or understand the words of the prophets that are read every Sabbath, they fulfilled those words by condemning him." And Paul goes on to talk about they found no cause for sentence of death, but they asked Pilate to have him killed. Jesus, they took him down from the tree, laid him in the tomb. He tells the story of what happened in Jerusalem, but teaches them about why that event happened. Now, why would Paul be teaching about this event and clarifying it in this way? Remember, Paul is teaching a group of Jewish people in Antioch who have heard from other Jewish leaders what's happened in Jerusalem. So in this moment in his sermon, he's having a teaching moment to say, you might have heard that this happened. Let me help clarify why it happened and what it meant in the bigger picture of what by unteaching something to say, you might have heard that this is how it goes, but actually we believe it differently. Or sometimes we teach by teaching you the nuance of something or clarifying what we believe. Proverbs 27 says it this way. It says, "Iron sharpens iron, and so one person sharpens the wits of another." And whenever I teach, whether it's in the pulpit or whether it's in a classroom, that's what I hope to be doing, is to sharpen your understanding of your faith. Not to say that I know everything or that I have the only perspective, but to come and bring the perspective I do have from my life and from my training and education, and to hope that that addition will sharpen your perspective as well in the teaching. But here's the catch. It's not just teaching about any old thing that Paul does. It's teaching about the good news. This is the third motivation. My clicker. Paul, can I have the next slide? My clicker is not helping me out. We proclaim the good news as pastors. We speak hope into hopeless situations. If you still have your Bible open, you can look down to verse 32 in chapter 13, where Paul says, "And we bring you the good news that what Jesus promised to our ancestors, he has fulfilled for us, their children, by raising Jesus." He proclaims the good news in what God is doing. You often hear us preachers say things like, "Hear the good news," or "the good news in this scripture is." We'll often frame it that way. And you might sometimes think like, "What? Why do they say good news so many times?" But that's because it's our job to proclaim good news. The whole story of our faith is centered around the resurrection of Jesus. Our whole faith is about finding hope in a hopeless place, finding life where we thought that we would find death. And so as a pastor, the gift that I have to bring to you is that proclamation of good news. Every Sunday, I have the gift to bring you, to tell you that God loves you and that God knows you and that God forgives you no matter what and that God has a purpose for you. Every week it's my gift to be able to tell you that God is with you and God is for you and that that is always true no matter what. And that is some really good news. That is good news, and that is why we proclaim it week after week. Fourth, we preach in order to make connections between ancient stories and our lives today. I see Paul doing this two places in this scripture, first in verse 36. He contrasts David and Jesus. Remember King David from the Old Testament? He's connecting him to Jesus in the New Testament, Paul says, for David experienced corruption, but Jesus, he whom God raised up, experienced no corruption. And then next slide, verse 39, Paul makes another connection, contrasting the law of Moses with the freedom of Jesus. Remember Moses, Exodus, right? We're bringing this into Jesus. He says, by this Jesus, everyone who believes is set free from all those sins from which you could not be freed by the law of Moses. Here's what Paul's doing. Paul is making connections. He's making connections first to the ancient past. He's saying, here's what you know about King David and who David was. And here's how Jesus connects to that. And then Paul is also making connections to the present. He's saying, here's what you know about how the law of Moses worked, but here's how we understand it for the law of Jesus and how the freedom of Jesus means that you today, now, in this moment, can be free. There's connections to the ancient past, connections to Jesus, and connections also to our lives here in this moment today. This is another thing that we do when we preach. We make connections for you. We take the threads of the ancient biblical text. We take the threads of the Jesus story. We take the threads of what we see happening in the world around us and in our lives. And as preachers, we tie all of those together, hopefully making something that works and makes sense for you. And we build these connections so that when you go out into your lives and Monday, Tuesday, you can see the connections to how God is still present in those places too. We make connections when we preach. But Paul doesn't stop there. In the next sentence, verse 40, he says, beware therefore. And that points to the next task of the preacher. We preach in order to urge people into action, in order to spur us all on toward the kingdom of God. In every good sermon, this is how I was trained in seminary, in every good sermon, there is a call to action. You don't leave it at the end without a call to action, I was taught. Something that we want you to do as a result of the good news that we hear in the scripture. So in Paul's sermon, he does this, right? The first thing he does is he urges the church to listen for the good news, to receive it, to hear it. There's the whole verse in verse 40. He says, beware, therefore, to listen to what the prophet said does not happen to you. He's warning people. He's saying, you know how this went wrong before? Beware so that it doesn't go wrong again. Accept what God is doing. And then they do. Look at verse 48 a little bit further down. It says, when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and they praised the word of the Lord. And thus the word of the Lord spread throughout the region. I love a good happy ending in the book of Acts where everybody believes at the end. But they do, they respond to the preaching by action. And their action in this case is belief. Sometimes our action is service. Sometimes our action is belief. Sometimes it's witnessing. Sometimes it's doing something else. But whatever the action is, here's the thing. Preaching is no good if it just stops here in this room. Preaching's kind of pointless. If it's just about the talking. The reason that we talk the talk in here on Sunday is so that we can walk the walk everywhere. We talk the talk here so that we can walk the walk everywhere. That's why I chose the quote from William Faulkner today where he says, never be afraid to raise your voice for honesty and truth and compassion against injustice or lying or greed. If people all over the world would do this, it would change the earth. Good preaching does this. It raises our awareness. It calls us to act, to change the world in the name of God, who is yet changing the world. Every word from God calls us to act, calls us to move. And so, my friends, I must end even this sermon with a call to action. And here's my call for you this week. It's to talk about your faith. You probably saw this one coming. You probably are not surprised that this is what I'm asking you to do this week based on this sermon about preaching. But the thing is that we all speak because God spoke. We speak because God is still speaking, and so we cannot remain silent. Last month, I took a few days and went up to downtown Frederick. It's one of my favorite places to be, and I wanted to get away to do some writing as I prepare my paperwork for ordination. And so I spent a few days up in Frederick writing and eating delicious food downtown. And one of the places next to one of my favorite cafes, there's a church that's the United Church of Christ. If you've been to downtown Frederick, you've seen this. It's a tall brick church with tall white columns on it. And ever since I've been going to Frederick, there has been tall red banners hanging next to those white columns. And on those banners, there's no logo for the church. There's just a big comma. Just a big comma. And underneath it, it says, God is still speaking. Comma. No end of the sentence. God is still speaking. I love that motto from the United Church of Christ with the big comma to say that the end is not here. There is more yet to come. God is still speaking. See, because God has spoken through the scriptures, the law, and the prophets, and Jesus has spoken through his life and death and resurrection. But God is still speaking. If you are in a place of hopelessness or depression, know that this is not the end. God is still speaking. God is still with you. There is still a word of hope for your life because God is still speaking. The Holy Spirit is still in you, moving you, longing to comfort you, and wishing to push you outside your comfort zone. Psalm 19 says it this way. It says, heaven is declaring God's glory, and the sky is proclaiming his handiwork. One day gushes the news to the next. One night informs another what needs to be known. I think this is the Message translation that goes on to say, of course, there's no speech or words. Their voices can't be heard, but their sound extends throughout the world. Their words reach the end of the earth. Or as our call to worship today said, when God speaks, all creation answers. When God speaks, lives are changed. When God speaks, everything is turned inside out. This is why the pastor talks so much, because God is still speaking. And we want to make sure that that you all get to hear God's voice. And so this is why I'm asking you to talk about your faith this week. Because God has done so many things for us and has spoken already so many words of hope into our lives. All people are loved. All sins can be forgiven. Everyone has a purpose in this life. This is good news. This is hopeful news for everyone. It's something worth sharing and worth talking about. You don't have to get preachy. You don't have to use a microphone. But my hope for you is that we would all go forth to talk about our faith, to speak, because God is still speaking. And thanks be for that. Amen.